Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ooredoo Group's Q3 2019 financial results investor call webcast. I now hand over to Andreas Goldau from Ooredoo Group. Sir, please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marhaban bikum fi hadhihi mukalama. Hello and welcome to Ooredoo's financial results call. My name is Andreas Goldau from the investor relations team, and as part of today's discussions, I'm pleased to introduce Ajay Bakri, our Group Chief Financial Officer, and Andrew Qualsett, our Chief Operating Officer. As always, we will start with an overview of the group results, followed by a Q&A session. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com, as well as on the webcast. Please do note the usual disclaimer on slide number two. To begin, I will now hand over to Ajay.
Thank you, Andreas, and thanks to everyone for joining today's call. The first nine months of 2019 show good overall performance, with net profits growing by 16% year-on-year. Revenue for the period was 22 billion riyals, lower by 3%, mainly due to reduction in handset sales and partly due to currency weakness in some markets. First nine months of 2019 were characterized by network expansion, digital transformation, and cost optimization across our operating companies. In Tunisia, Myanmar, and Algeria, we continue to roll out 4G network with positive impact on customer service levels. In our more mature markets, we maintained our 5G rollout with live commercial 5G available in Qatar and Kuwait, and successful tests of 5G in Oman. Our efficiency program continues to deliver good results across the group. The reported EBITDA margin increased benefits from the implementation of IFRS 16 accounting standard. Excluding this and certain one-off benefits last year from results of associates, the EBITDA margin improved by 1%. During the period, we prioritized laying the foundation for sustained long-term growth in the future, leveraging our experience in digitizations to offer our customers seamless user experience whilst developing end-to-end enterprise solutions. Moving on to slide number five, revenue and EBITDA. Group revenue for the first nine months of 2019 was at 22 billion riyals, a slight decrease from 22.5 billion riyals last year. Year-to-date revenue was mainly impacted by lower handset sales, the combination of currency depreciation and price competition in some of our regions. Quarter-on-quarter, we saw a 1% increase in revenue, which was supported by strong performances in Indonesia, Tunisia, and Kuwait. EBITDA increased 4% and 6% respectively for both the nine-month and the three-month period ended 30th September 2019 compared to the same period last year. The growth was driven by the ongoing implementation of our efficiency program, as well as the benefit from the implementation of the IFRS 16 accounting standard. Moving on to the next slide, net profit. Net profit rose 16% during the first nine months of 2019 compared to the same period in 2018 to 1.3 billion. Growth was driven by improvements in operational performance and a more positive foreign exchange environment in 2019 compared to last year. Net profit showed good growth after excluding the impact of foreign exchange and certain one-off non-operational benefits last year. Slide number seven, capital expenditure and free cash flow. CapEx was up 18% to 3.4 billion riyals, which is in line with our annual guidance. During the period, we accelerated our investments in 4G network in our markets, supporting the recovery of performance. Capital expenditure represents an essential part of our strategy to deliver long-term growth by deploying the latest technologies in our markets. Free cash flow for the first nine months of 2019 was lower by 14%, impacted by the increased CapEx, which was in line with our expectations. Next slide, please. Our customer base at the end of Q3 2019 was 116 million, 3% lower than the same period last year. The reduction was primarily a function of our renewed strategy in Indonesia, as explained in earlier quarters as well, where we focused on reducing churn and attracting high-value customers. Next slide, net debt. We continue to maintain a healthy and well-balanced debt profile. Net debt increased 18% to 27 billion impacted by the implementation of the IFRS 16. Excluding the impact of IFRS 16, net debt decreased 5%, maintaining our course of deleveraging. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is at 2.1 times and 1.8 times without IFRS 16 impact, which is within our long-term guidance of being between 1.5 and 2.5 times. Group debt remains primarily at corporate level in Qatar, followed by Indonesia, and then a smaller percentage allocated to the other opcos. Debt at the opco level is kept primarily in local currency. Next slide. Performance summary and 2019 guidance. As you can see, our revenue performance for the first 9 months of 2019 is on the lower end of our guidance for the period. EBITDA adjusted for IFRS 16 would be down 5% and within our full year 2019 guidance range of -7% to -4%. We maintain a disciplined CapEx approach, a high performing efficiency program, and strict cost management. Let's turn to slide number 12 for an operational review of our operating companies. Qatar. In a home market in Qatar, we lead on 5G adoption and we continue to innovate in the consumer and enterprise segments. We demonstrated the power of our network in the International World Athletics Championship in Doha, offering smart stadium solutions at the event. We also premiered the world's first virtual store, an online 360-degree retail experience. Financially, revenue was down slightly due to reduced handset sales. Our EBITDA margin increased to 56% in the 9 month period 2019, up from 51% for the same period last year. EBITDA growth was supported by a favorable mix between service revenue and handset sales, as well as IFRS 16 impact and improved efficiencies and cost optimization across the business. Sequentially, revenue and EBITDA were slightly down due to competitive dynamics and timing of certain operating expenses. Let's move on to slide 13. Our renewed strategy in Indonesia continues to deliver robust growth with an 11% increase in revenues during the first 9 months of 2019 compared to the same period last year to 4.8 billion riyals. Higher revenues coupled with careful cost optimization initiatives grew EBITDA for the 9 month period to 2.1 billion riyals, up 37% compared to the same period last year, including the IFRS 16 impact. Indosat Ooredoo's customer base grew by 2 million on a quarter-on-quarter basis, supporting sequential growth in revenue and EBITDA. During the third quarter of the year, Indosat Ooredoo successfully negotiated the sale of 3,100 towers with a potential value of approximately 1.6 billion riyals. The assets will be leased back for a 10-year period at attractive rates. Slide number 14, Iraq. In Iraq, despite strong price competition in the market, quarter on quarter, we grew revenues and EBITDA supported by increased data revenue. Revenue for the 9 month period was flat at 3.3 billion riyals, whilst EBITDA declined to 1.5 billion due to network expansion and lease circuit costs to support the data traffic growth. Asiacell's customer base increased 6% to 14 million at the end of Q3 2019 compared to the same period last year. Discussions with the regulator are underway for the launch of 4G, ushering in a new period of growth for the country. No official timeline has yet been finalized. Slide 15, Oman. On a year-to-date basis, Ooredoo Oman maintained its revenue whilst delivering EBITDA growth of 3% compared to the same period last year. Sequentially, we improved both revenue and EBITDA, driven by strong demand of a fixed line offering, offsetting some of the weakness in the mobile market. Ooredoo Oman's customer base increased 2% to 3 million as a result of growth in all segments as we focus our efforts on differentiating ourselves through our digital capabilities and by offering exceptional customer service. Our efforts were recognized by the CX Middle East, which presented Ooredoo Oman the award of the best customer experience in Oman. Sequential quarter revenue increase supported by fixed revenue and device sales. As a result, EBITDA also grew sequentially. Let's move to slide 16, Kuwait. In Kuwait, we are seeing the signs of market stabilization with the containment of value erosion in postpaid voice segment and the improvements in the data segment. EBITDA margin for the first 9 months of 2019 improved to 31%, up from 20% for the same period last year, driven by a preferable product mix between handset sales and service revenues, as well as improved market pricing. These factors also contributed to the 43% increase in EBITDA during the period, despite the reduction in revenue during the nine-month period. Revenue was down due to handset sales, a low-margin business. Ooredoo Kuwait's customer base increased to 2.6 million in the nine-month period, up by 13% from last year. Sequentially, quarterly revenue declined primarily due to lower handset sales, and EBITDA declined due to timing of certain operating expenses. We remain at the forefront of technology innovation in the country with the launch of 5G plans with handset bundles. On slide 17 for Algeria, you will see that the situation in Algeria continues to be challenging with difficult economic conditions and political instability, as well as the devaluation of the Algerian dinar, a persistent price war, and an overall shrinkage in the market. As a result, Ooredoo Algeria's revenue declined 10% during the first 9 months of 2019 compared to the same period last year. Sequentially, however, we grew both revenue and EBITDA in Q3 2019 compared to Q2 2019. Operationally, we maintained our mobile data leadership by providing the greatest 4G coverage in the country. Next slide, please. Tunisia. Tunisia delivered another robust set of results. Despite challenging market conditions and currency depreciation, we grew EBITDA by 10% to 523 million during the first 9 months of 2019 compared to the same period last year due to improved operational efficiencies, careful cost management, and digitization. Revenues increased 10% in local currency terms, supported by strong performance in data and fixed revenues, as well as increasing contributions from digital service revenues. In Qatari Riyal terms, revenues decreased 5% due to the 15% year-on-year depreciation of the Tunisian dinar. Our customer base grew 3% to 9 million, affirming our position as the number one telecom player by customer market share, supported by our excellent support and service. Sequentially, both revenue and EBITDA increased in Tunisia. Slide 25, Myanmar. In Myanmar, we focused on our digital distribution strategy, growing our customer base 6% to 10 million at the end of 9 months 2019 compared to the same period last year. Our digital initiatives continue to gain traction with the My Ooredoo application. Revenues were down for the 9 months period due to the increased competition from the entry of the fourth operator in the market and the 9% depreciation in the Myanmar kyat. EBITDA increased 30% mainly due to positive impact from the implementation of the new accounting standard IFRS 16. Customer numbers stood at 10 million, 1 million lower than Q2. That is due to a focus on acquisition of high quality customers rather than lower quality with high churn rates. Sequentially, revenue was stable and EBITDA improved due to cost efficiencies. This concludes the presentation. I now hand you back to the IR team.
Thank you very much, Ajay. And now we are coming to the Q&A part. Questions can be asked over the phone or on the webcast. So if you type your question on the webcast, my colleague Sarah Al-Sayed, who also happens to celebrate her birthday today, will read out the question. And Guillaume, can you please explain to the participants how to ask questions on the phone line?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, to participate in our Q&A written, you just type your question into the webcast area, text area, then click the submit button. Thank you. We already have a question from Ibrahimova from Citi. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. I had a couple of questions, please. One is on Qatar. I'm just looking at the service revenue performance, and it seems like decline has accelerated in the third quarter, driven what seems to be like mobile, especially prepaid. If you could comment what is happening on the market? Is it just a seasonality? Maybe Q3 was particularly weak with high outflow of people, like macro level, or is it the price competition that is driving pressure on service revenue? And also what your expectations are going forward. And also it seems like the impact of the pressure on revenue had also had negative impact on underlying pre-IFRS 16 EBITDA, which declined around 5% year on year, despite low device sales this quarter. So it seems like the service revenue pressure is being recycled into EBITDA. What actions do you plan going forward? If you could comment on Qatar performance, would be great. And the second question is on Myanmar. It is, of course, encouraging to see the slight improvement in, especially on the EBITDA line in the quarter. But overall, what is the strategy on this market or maybe how do you see yourself on this market going forward, like in the longer term? Do you see this operations, what will drive the OpCo onto the path to become free cash flow break-even at some point? Or if you have visibility when that's likely, maybe you could offer us comment as well. Or maybe there are other routes that the company may consider, for example, in market consolidation or maybe even exit. Yeah, if you could comment on what your long-term vision or what options are considered or available for this specific operation, that would be great.
Great. Thanks for questions. As far as Qatar is concerned, quarter three, you'll see even the number of customers are down. In quarter three, that is... seasonally, what happens is a lot of people go on leave during this period, and as a result of that, some of the prepaid customer lines get dormant and not counted as customers. And similarly, some usage, especially on the domestic side and international calls, goes down as a result of that. No other real dynamics, I would say, because you would see a similar trend in the overall market as well, where the revenue has gone down. Outlook for mobile, I think, is similar trends, nothing new in terms of competitive dynamics there. You did talk about the EBITDA margin there, and as some revenue growth comes back, I think that will have a positive impact on EBITDA. Q3 did have certain one-off expenses which were more of a timing issue, so the decline should not be seen as a permanent decline in the EBITDA margin. It's just because of timing of certain promotional spend. As far as Myanmar is concerned, of course, we are long-term investors, so we look at every market on a long-term basis. And in Myanmar, the dynamics which have happened after the fourth player has come has been negative for the overall market for all the four players. So I think as the pricing is stabilized there, and the regulator is supportive of getting reasonable price levels and putting some price floors in place. That will help the overall industry there. And as some stability comes into pricing levels, and the growth is still there in the market as penetration levels are still not as high as the other countries in the region. So long term, we are hopeful about, you know, better performance going forward for Myanmar. We are open to options which are strategic in nature, depending on how things happen in the market. But as of now, the focus is to get our own company more efficient and get to a reasonable scale.
Thanks very much for the comment. And maybe just to follow up on your comment on Q3 performance, service revenue performance in Qatar. You do mention that the Q3 is seasonally weaker, but looking at the year-on-year performance, this year Q3 was specifically maybe had higher outflow of people. Is that what you have seen and which affected the whole of the market? So maybe it's just exceptional quarter?
I think the general trend in the prepaid market has been a lower revenue trend, starting more from the beginning of this year. A certain local price increases happened in certain commodities, and that has shown weakness in the prepaid market. The postpaid, on the other hand, we can see number of customers going up as well as the revenues. So it's partly offset by that. The prepaid market, if you look at the postpaid, you'll see a positive growth there. So maybe if you look at the total market, maybe you should look at both of them together if you want to understand the mobile market dynamics.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to participate in our recent Q&A, just type your question into the Ask a Question text area, then click the Submit button. If you wish to ask a question by phone, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Jonathan Milan from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congratulations on a very good set of results, and thank you very much for taking the time for the call. I have a few questions, if I may. First of all, on the Qatar operations, I understand that Q3 may be seasonably weak, but we've seen a downtrend in the blended ARPU, as is pointed out by the presentation on slide 25, and especially noting that Qatar has one of the highest ARPUs in the region, to say the least, rivaled only by the UAE. Where do you think these ARPUs can settle? And as a result, don't you think it'll be extremely difficult to see an improvement in EBITDA over the next 2 to 3 years in Qatar? That is my first question. My second question is on Indonesia. So the tower sale, will they be bundling towers? So will they have more than one tower company, one telecom company per tower, in which case the lease back rate would be even more attractive than if it's only Indosat that's leasing back the towers? That's how you generate economies of scale. And my third question would be that now that the net debt to EBITDA, pre-IFRS, is below two times, which is quite good for a telecom company. And in terms of the debt profile, you only have $700 million in payments next year, $1 billion the year after. Would you consider increasing your dividends now that you've brought your leverage to a far more acceptable level?
Okay, thank you for your questions. I think the Qatar ARPU trends of decline, as you can see in the slide that you referred to, has been a declining trend, and which is not dissimilar to a lot of other markets where the industry is under pressure. A dynamic of that really is the voice usage and revenues declining faster than the growth of the data. Data pricing in most markets has been on the lower end as competitors try to grab market share based on data. So that dynamic is playing out in a lot of markets. So although the propensity to pay in all markets by the customers is high, I think the telecom industry hasn't settled the pricing levels for data at the right level. Another dynamic there is as you roll out new technology like 4G, where the cost of data is cheaper, you can price data cheaper, but the usage growth sometimes is not offset by the increased usage, and the increased revenue doesn't come as anticipated. So that dynamic is an industry issue. That's one of the reasons why you see a declining trend in ARPUs. Having said that, the EBITDA growth, again, I'm not talking only Qatar here, has to come from cost efficiencies in the industry. The growth levels are very low for the industry. Our forecast, if you saw, was more a decline in revenue, but that was also because of foreign exchange, conversion rates in real terms. So a lot of growth in EBITDA will come with a combination of revenue growth from non-traditional sources, which would be B2B digital, and also cost efficiencies. As far as Indonesia tower leaseback is concerned, these were towers which we were owning ourselves. It has a combination of towers where we were the only tenant and also towers where we had other tenants already there. So in a leaseback, sale and leaseback process, the sale proceeds that we get upfront takes into account the tenants which were already there. And similarly, the price of leaseback also takes that into account.
So when the tower companies are buying,
the tenants are generally more than one. On an average, it could be definitely more than one. So the pricing takes that into account, the leaseback pricing, and what you get upfront from the tower company takes that into account. As far as net debt to EBITDA is concerned, you're right, the trends have been positive, excluding IFRS 16. Of course, IFRS 16, the accounting standard, from just an accounting perspective, increases the leverage. The dividend decisions are taken by the board on an annual basis after looking at various factors, including debt, cash flow generation, future capex requirements, profitability for the period, and expected growth in the outer years as well. So all these factors, including debt, will be considered in the dividend decisions by the board. We don't give guidance on dividend, but I think once we get the results of the full year, you will hear more about it from us.
Okay, then may you reiterate the CapEx guidance, say, for next year? I mean, there could be 5G in Qatar, that could be big, but still. And again, with Indonesia setting these towers, you have enough cash to fund your CapEx for quite some time. Could you please reiterate guidance, CapEx guidance for next year?
For this year, the guidance was 5.5 to 6.5 billion riyals. The next year guidance we'll be giving after the full year results call. So I think you'll have to wait for that to happen. That's probably going to be sometime end of February.
Middle of February, end of
In the February.
But would it be higher or lower? I mean, I'm sure you can get a feeling of whether it's higher or lower.
No, I think we normally give guidance when we give the guidance. But I think I wouldn't want to preempt my guidance comment of February right now. But you correctly pointed out some dynamics which will play into that, which is 5G in some markets, which is not there today. But at the same time, that means the 4G expansion will not happen in those markets. So there is a offset where 5G is rolled out. But I think the appropriate time for me to give the guidance would be in February.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
We have another question from Mishad Lokodia from SICRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the call. I have a few questions that I may ask. First one is on the general and admin expenses for this quarter was a bit on the lower end, I believe because of the cost optimization that's happening at the group level and other operations as well. But if you can just give some guidance as to whether we can expect further material improvement on this particular cost item on the G&A in the coming quarters, or what should be the run rate? Should it be around 1.4 billion Qatari riyal or lower? Anything on that front would be helpful. The second question I have is on Ooredoo Myanmar. The net finance costs I see quite high this year versus last year. So any color on the debt at this level entity, and is there an is the leverage increasing? And I also understand that the group was also lent to Myanmar, so there's an intercompany loan given to this entity. So any color on that, and is the future capex and all being funded through leverage, and how's the cash flow situation? Any color here would be helpful. And third, on the competitive environment in Kuwait, you mentioned a bit on the Kuwait slide in terms of it continues to be very competitive, but there was a time when the handset related competition had stabilized. So how is the environment now? Is it again gone back to competition both on the voice as well as handsets, or it's not as competitive as what it was, say, in 3Q last year?
Okay, thanks for the question. As far as the G&A costs are concerned, you do see that Q3, there is a decline. It's got partly two things. One is a little bit of seasonality. This includes marketing spend as well, which moves seasonally a little bit. So a little bit decline there, which may not be sustainable. But it also has cost optimization factored there. And a one-off transaction in one of the opcos where certain provisions were reversed, and that piece will not repeat. So in a nutshell, I would say about one-third of this could be attributed to sustainable decrease. Some of the other are either timing related, like marketing, and others are one-off coming in this quarter. Myanmar, the funding for Myanmar to a large extent is done through the group itself, through intercompany financing arrangements. Local funding in terms of debt is very limited. So the impact of interest, if you see at a group level, gets nullified. Intercompany transactions are excluded, so you don't see that impact at a group level. The forecast, of course, is the company, as you can see from the EBITDA margin levels, still needs funding to fund its CapEx program, especially when it comes to rolling out 4G network. So at least in the short term, it will need funding from the group, but the trending is for it to become sustainable so that the EBITDA it generates should fund its CapEx in the long run. Competition in Kuwait, we did see some positive trends in the first half of the year, some stability in the market, which in the postpaid and the voice segment is sustaining in Q3 as well. The new development in Kuwait is on the 5G side, as you're aware, and that can trigger more competitive dynamics. Some of those can be visible now. But not to the level that we've seen earlier. However, we are hopeful that the stability will continue in the coming quarters as well. But we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, and Ajay, one thing quick on the asset held for sale. It has gone up quite significantly this year. I mean, relatively speaking, it's above $300 million. So what exactly is this particular asset that Ooredoo is trying to sell?
These are basically the towers in Indonesia, which once you make a decision to sell them, they get transferred to asset held for sale. So in quarter four, we hope this transaction will be closed. So once we close this transaction, you'll see that this asset held for sale will also go out to this.
Okay, got that. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To participate in our written Q&A, you just have to submit on the webcast. Thank you. We have another question from Ira Ibrahimova again from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just a quick follow-up, please. You mentioned the one-offs. I was wondering whether there are any one-offs in Myanmar this quarter. One of the competitors, Telenor, has made reversal of the provisions related to the network rollout because the obligations have been met. I was just wondering whether you had a similar thing happening in this quarter. Thank you.
No, we don't have any one-off reversals during the quarter in Myanmar. We also have met our obligations for rollout, but we didn't have any reversals of provisions coming out of that.
All right. Thanks.
We have another question from Jonathan Milan from Waha Capital again. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to ask for a follow-up question. Would you ever consider exiting one of these countries? I mean, I understand a lot of progress has been done in all 10 countries in which you operate, but further consolidate the business, would you consider exiting one or two or more of these countries if you are given a proper offer to focus more on certain key markets, especially since, I mean, across these 10 countries, it does create a bit of noise, might be let you lose a bit of focus from some of the core markets? I mean, would you consider that? That's one question. And another question is on the ARPU in Indonesia. I mean, we've seen a bit of a weakness in Q3, although year on year it's still going up. But what do you think is the trend? What do you expect is the trend in terms of ARPU in Indonesia? Is it still extremely competitive where there'll be a ceiling for the ARPU pretty soon? Or do you still see some upside for ARPUs in Indonesia, which so far has done a fantastic job so far this year?
Okay, as far as the first question is concerned about exit, I think as a manager, we're not focused on exit of any market. Our focus is to make sure our operations are run efficiently and provide good returns to the shareholders. Having said that, we do look at in-market consolidation as an opportunity where it is available. But as far as an exit is concerned, if offer comes on the table, we'll have an obligation to look at it for the benefit of the shareholders. We don't have any such options right now. But, you know, these things will be viewed if at all, in a hypothetical situation, we get something. Indosat, ARPU decline is a slight decline, as you can see. It's part of that is because of the increased customer base as well. During the quarter, about 2 million customers were added to the base, which are contributing revenue only for part of the period. So part of the decline is as a result of the increase in customer base as well. Overall, we expect stability in this. The growth that you saw in ARPU is also a reflection of the cleanup of the customer base, which you will recall that from last 1 year, a large number of customers had to be cleaned up because of the SIM registration requirements. A lot of these customers were not giving much of ARPU, so they were just going out without taking revenue out. So part of the increase is a mathematical implication, but the other part, which is for this quarter, is because of a turnaround in customer numbers, which has some impact on the average revenue per user.
Okay, and any update on the fourth entrant in the Iraqi market and how sizable can be the cost for renewing the mobile license in Iraq?
I think the fourth entrant, no official feedback in recent times on that. That is something which was quite active some time back, but not much update since then. The license renewal, of course, depends on the discussions with the government. We don't have an indication of that as yet. And even when there's certainty of that, you know, it will be in public domain. But we're hopeful it will be all in reasonable terms because there are three operators in the market providing good service, and spectrum fee, license fee has an implication on pricing for the customers as well. So we expect it to be reasonably priced.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question by phone, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also participate in our written question on the webcast. Please submit on the webcast platform. Thank you. As a reminder again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad.
Okay, Guillaume, it looks like there are no more questions. So just one more announcement from Investor Relations at Ooredoo. We're going to attend the Qatar Exchange London Roadshow next week on Thursday. And we still have some slots available on the day before on Wednesday. So if you're interested in meeting with Ooredoo in London, contact the Investor Relations team here. I would like to thank you all for joining today's call. Please refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for additional updates, or follow us on Twitter at UredooIR, and feel free to contact the Investor Relations team if you need any further information. We look forward to your future participation. Our next update is probably due sometime in the middle of February with the full year results. Meanwhile, thank you again for your continued interest in Ooredoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.